Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Well, I always am happy when we have a repeat guest that's on the show, and he's a good friend of ours as well as yours too. Dr. Ivan Zak is with us from Galaxy Vets. He's going to talk to us about reshaping the industry with a people-centric approach to consolidation. How's it going, Dr. Zak?
Hey, good to see you again. It's, you know, it's going okay considering what's going on in Ukraine, because I'm from there and a lot of people on my team. But other than that, we're excited what we're doing for the industry here.
Yeah, we're thinking of you and with the people of Ukraine, of course, too. So our thoughts are with you. So a little bit of background to our wonderful friend here, Dr. Zak. He is a veterinarian, an entrepreneur, and a passionate advocate for the well-being of veterinary professionals. After 12 years in the ER and a severe case of burnout, he pivoted to creating products that improve the workflows and experiences of veterinary teams. He founded SmartFlow, a workflow optimization system and veterinary integration solutions, and executive a consulting firm offering proprietary operating platform for enterprise management and burnout prevention. Pursuing his goal to mark a sizable impact on the veterinary industry, Dr. Zak founded Galaxy Vets, a veterinary healthcare system co-owned by its employees and with burnout prevention as a strategic priority. Along the way, he obtained an MBA degree in international healthcare management with a thesis of implementation of lean thinking to improve the employee experience. He is a co-host of two podcasts, Veterinary Innovation Podcast, which I'll be on soon, by the way, and Consolidate That. His hobbies are fishing, badminton, weightlifting, and reading. He lives in Canada with his wife, two kids, and of course, the four ducks. So, you know, I really do enjoy this topic too. So tell us a little more about your professional journey and how you decided to launch what's now called Galaxy Vets.
Well, I don't want to take the whole episode by this, but by my journey, but you know, I'm a vet. So I struggled through the same things as all vets do. But the burnout experience wasn't something that I was wanted to share too much about, especially what it resulted in. And, you know, it's because I found a lot of solutions in alcohol and other things, which is a shame to me, or was a shame. And it was not something that there was easy. And it led to almost losing my life. So that was sort of a pretty bad experience for me. And it definitely left a mark. But then when I pivoted and when I've done a lot of other things in the veterinary domain and found happiness again, when I had an opportunity to decide what I'm doing, I wanted to sort of crack the code on what is the burnout and consolidated, the consulting gig, the veterinary integration solutions was really about that. It was finding how do you manage the organizations to decrease the burnout? Because we, you know, there's so much good stuff about personal care and well-being and meditation and, you know, and compassion, training, fatigue, all of these things. I think they're absolutely relevant, but this is personalized. So instead of handing people something and say, here, you should do this, I thought, why don't we do something as an industry and build companies with people in mind? And that's what I learned about while I was writing the dissertation, that's what I learned about in healthcare. And they have a lean methodology that they applied, or lean thinking, which one of the four sort of principles that they had, there's nine principles. Was the fourth one is respecting people that do the work, and I really like that. So I wanted to apply it in the veterinary domain, and that's where we said let's build something with people in mind, and Galaxy idea came to mind. So the two main purposes, well, the purpose of which is very important for a company is the purpose is to decrease the burnout in our domain. Very simple, quite ambitious, and I think we could get there. But there are two missions. One of them is to return veterinary medicine back to veterinarians. And I think we're doing that. And then the second one, more related to our pet owners, there's tremendous shortage of veterinarians. So providing access to care for the pet owners when they need it and where they need it.
I like that you mentioned the mission is to give veterinary medicine back to the veterinarians. Expand a little bit more on that. What do you mean by that?
So traditionally, when I went to school, and when I'm sure you went to school, the system was, or the thought process was, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to spend tons of years and money to become a veterinarian. And then you become a professional that earns decent amount of money. And then your plan is to work for some time and then potentially become an associate in the clinic that you like, and then become a partner, and then eventually maybe take over the practice when the previous owner is retiring through buying that practice. With the corporate coming into our domain and really looking at the margins and everything else, the multiples that are offered today are insane. So the prices that the corporate offers for clinics are just not doable by a regular veterinarian. So when someone graduates from the veterinary school, they can't buy a hospital, and it will be financially not viable, and their grandkids are going to be paying for that practice. So the corporate is taking the veterinary practice away from us. So the goal here was, can we build the structure, the ownership, the business model, the workflows, and everything else by veterinarians and own it by veterinarians? So the structure is that we are rolling over when we are partnering with someone. They have any mini liquidity event where they sell the practice, but the practice joins a large organization where there's small hospitals, there's ER hospitals, there's lab, there's the network, and we call it a healthcare system. And then they own by 50% of their proceeds. And also every single employee in the organization has shares in it, which is, I think, fundamental for creating the owner's mindset. And then the hypothesis, which I'm hoping will be proven, is that people will feel that they own organization, they all have shares. And it's not just, a couple of dollars. We're actually providing to anybody from the custodians all the way up to CEO are getting ownership in the company and its receptionists, its technicians, its doctors, its relief veterinarians that never had anything as ownership. They just work hourly. That's what I've been doing. ER vets never own anything. Every single person in your organization will own shares that will be equal or close to have a retirement after 5 years.
And that's great. It gives them that sense of buy-in too. They feel like they have a little that ownership that you were just talking about too.
And absolutely.
I'm wondering too, I'm sure that's got to help minimize a little bit about that burnout feeling too. So is that part of, or I guess more specifically, what is Galaxy Vet's burnout prevention strategy?
So I think we kind of coined the term because when we did the last survey, we asked, is there a burnout prevention strategy in your clinic? Because everybody's talking about burnout, but then can you measure it? What are you doing? How do you know you're succeeding? If you're saying, okay, we're doing so much for burnout prevention now. So we developed this term of sort of burnout prevention strategy. Ownership is one of those things, but money and especially delayed gratification, like equity in the organization you're building, it's part of the extrinsic motivation. And I think that extrinsic motivation, I know that there's data and a lot of research. It's not something that motivates the intellectual employees. You could be in an assembly line. That's where you can give bonuses and drive, the productivity that way. Intellectual workers cannot be motivated by money. So this is a component in it, but there's other things that we do for that. So we think that we're providing financial freedom, essentially providing the top of the market salary. We're redefining what full-time means in the veterinary medicine because we're working a lot. And so our full-time is going to be as low as 24 hours a week. Essentially, three shifts a week is a full-time. You get equity, you get all the perks of the full-time, or it could be two ER shifts per week. And you can schedule them anywhere you want. So that's another thing, the flexibility and the variety of work, which is also a trigger to burnout if you don't have flexibility. So that's, you could work one day. Usually, you're sign up into the hospital and you work in GP or you work in ER. We're creating the schedule in all the dense areas where we have them, and we call them solar systems. So you would be able to pick up a shift, one in GP, one in ER, a couple shifts in telemedicine from home. So you can actually rotate between the clinics. So our schedule is not about the clinic or a clinic, but about the whole kind of group of hospitals in one area. So that's another mechanism there. The non-compete, absolutely no non-competes. That's, I think, is an ancient way of scaring people. I think it's our responsibility to make people want to stay. And if they leave, you failed. You can't penalize them for that. So that's our, there's the whole, I can go on a tangent there. And then limit number of hours. This is something I remember when I drove from one hospital, worked a 14-hour shift, slept for an hour in the parking lot, and did another 14-hour shift back to back. And so we will limit people. They are not going to be able to work more than a certain number per day, per week, without having 2 days in a row off every week. So there's going to be a very, very distinct control of that. Incorporating micro-learning, that's another one. So essentially, not just here's 50, you know, $500, $1,500, go to conference and have dinner with your friends. It's structuring the and goal setting for achieving certain continuous education goals. Goal setting is very important, so we'll help them with that. And then the very important side is measuring all of the above and whether it does have an impact. Because if you're doing all of these things and you think you're doing it, but you're not measuring it, then you might as well not do it because you don't know if you're getting anywhere or not.
Yeah, I like that. Creating those SMART goals is really important too. And yep. You know, I've read this wonderful study that you did. You completed this burnout and work-life balance study. So tell the listeners what you've probably, what really stood out at you the most? What struck you the most?
So I'll just mention why we're doing this. So the first study we did last year was now 2 years ago. So in 2020 it was a part of the dissertation. So the dissertation on lean methodology in the healthcare. So I wanted to take a slice of the industry and say, okay, we are burned out, but how much we're burned out and are we, or is it sort of, you know, someone unfortunately commits suicide and everybody's talking about it. And then it becomes like a shark attack that everybody hears about, but the stats are very low. So the first year we did a professional fulfillment index, which was developed in Stanford, and we are burned out. And then we found out quite a few different stats. And then we realized that it would be nice to do that every year. We should actually do it every year and see if we are progressing, if we're doing better as an industry, do different slices by gender, age, and things like that, and see who is at more risk. So this year we repeated it, or in 2021, and the results showed that we're 9.4% more burned out than the year before. The technicians are more burned out than the veterinarians, as it has been before, which I always was advocating for. Everybody's talking about the vets that are burned out, but the main people in the hospital, which are technicians, and I strongly think that they're more burned out than the veterinarians. So I think we need to pay close attention to that. And the younger veterinarians was the same thing last year and this year. First 5 years out of school, the younger vets burn out more than the baby boomers and the older generations. There is low work-life balance across all the groups, and there's direct correlation between the caseload. And it's interesting that at 30 cases per day, it plateaus. We have people that have up to 50 cases per day.
Wow.
Yeah. But it sort of plateaus at about 20 to 30, and then it doesn't even increase. They're just flat burned out. 74% of people don't set goals. So that's why in our strategy against that, we conducted research to understand, okay, what are those triggers? And this is a particular interest of mine, the goal setting, because it has a huge part in the positive psychology. It really teaches people how to set goals. They're smart, just like you said, that's important, but also structure and chunk them. So not just have, you know, something I want to accomplish and then it's done, but plan for a year, slice it into quarters, you know, what every month you're doing. I go down to having three stickies on my, you know, mirror where I'm shaving and I'm looking in the mirror. I'm thinking, okay, what have I done? Well, what am I going to do today for these three goals in each day? And then I'm looking if I accomplished that or not. And surprise enough, those hospitals that don't have anything about the burnout or what we call burnout prevention strategy or never heard about it from their employers are burned out more. And the respondents that indicated that their employer has a clear burnout prevention, they're a little significantly lower burnout. And also, maybe the last one, so this year we split them by gender. So gender nonconforming and women are more burned out than men.
Oh, fascinating. Really fascinating. So thanks for doing that study. And I want to close by this last thing that I did see come across on LinkedIn too, about the Veterinary Oath Initiative. Tell us a little bit about its purpose and the progress and where we're at with that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I heard someone commenting on social media. I better not read that. We had another incident that we bumped into before that. So this is another one that people, you know, started saying, well, why are you changing the oath? We need to do something with the industry. It's just one of the million little pieces that we're putting together. But it starts with taking care of yourself and the oath. So it was very interesting. We just bumped into it and we realized that in medicine, they changed it. They changed it in 2017 and they talked about the self-care within the oath. So we said, why shouldn't we focus on that? Because we have a higher suicide rate than anybody else. So we said, okay, let's just drive that initiative. So essentially what we want to do, we just want to advocate that all the, well, the American Veterinary Medical Association and the NAVTA would consider self-care adding to the oath. The unfortunate part was that when we contacted AVMA, AVMA said that they might consider in the next 2 years. So that's hopefully someone in there listens to this podcast because it's not a long oath. And if, you know, people losing their lives over this is not a priority, then what is?
Right. 100%. Couldn't agree with you more actually about that. Really. I mean, like if this isn't, if that's not at the top of somebody's email, then I don't know what is, you know?
Yeah. How do they go? Okay. I'll talk about it in a year.
Right. You know, I mean, we know that this is a problem, but yet, nah, we'll get to it in a couple of years. It just it doesn't make sense. So hopefully with what you're doing and, you know, by creating this momentum, hopefully it'll be, you know, front and center. So, well, this has been fantastic. We want to thank you and our friends at Galaxy Vets for being on the podcast today. Where can they find out more information about Galaxy Vets?
Galaxyvets.com. So essentially right now not a huge website. You can see all our team on the bottom. You can scroll down. You can sort of watch the cartoon on the front of what we're doing. I do want to say this. So everybody's saying there's shortage of vets and there's shortage of technicians. Since we started, we had almost 800 job applications since September.
Wow.
800. And quarter of those are veterinarians.
That's impressive.
So I have a suspicion that this is not a market of not enough vets. I feel that this is a market not of the jobs that we want. So we're very excited. Please opt in if you want to learn more about it. As we are starting to build and expand, then we definitely will be dipping into the pool of people that applied. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to, you know, put this plug in.
Of course, Dr. Zach, we want to thank you for what you're doing too, by the way, in this profession. I know, again, we're thinking of you and our friends in Ukraine and, you know, it's our profession is that much brighter with all the great work that you're doing in it. So thank you for what you're doing.
So maybe if I can add one more thing, just
We're done. No, I'm just kidding.
Damn it. Just on the note of, you know, something that you might see coming soon, we're pulling the initiative together. There's the humanitarian crisis will start in Ukraine pretty soon. And a lot of people left their homes with pets locked in the apartments or released on the streets. The zoo in Kyiv, the animals will probably die from starvation. Wow. So we're trying to pull the project together to provide at least actually telemedicine from North America bridge to Ukraine, where people, if they need consultancy through telemedicine, there will be no jurisdictional restrictions on that. And then help people to potentially just with the basic telemedicine help remotely. So just watch for that coming in the next couple of weeks.
So can we go to galaxyvets.com to learn more about that?
If it's there will be galaxyvets.com. We'll have a banner and we'll set up a separate website and we're going to be using software to actually create that bridge. And there's more to come, but we're hoping that I'm sure there's tons of people in the industry that would love to participate and help. And I think it would be the best way to help them.
Absolutely. And if there's anything we can do at DVM 362, we're all in. So yeah, keep us posted with that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Ivan, for all your work. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate today's podcast and always continue to subscribe. Continue to do great work out there, my friends. And we'll see you next week on the Vet Blast podcast. Have a great week, everyone. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.